SBS live streams and podcasts are supported by advertising.
Why do people want to be at work? To feel heard, appreciated, part of something, and to know there's a career path for everyone. Inclusive workplaces are linked to increased innovation, productivity, and employee satisfaction. Make your organisation a place where people want to be. For inclusion and diversity training, visit inclusion-program.com.au.
You're listening to SBS On The Money with Ricardo Gonçalves.
It's your daily 10-minute business and finance news wrap for this Friday, the 12th of July, 2024. The Australian share market hit a fresh record today. We'll have the details with Tony Sycamore from IG Markets in a few moments. But first, to Australia's richest CEO, and a report by the Australian Council of Superannuation Investors found the median pay of Australia's top 100 ASX CEOs fell from $3.93 million to $3.87 million. That's the lowest in 10 years. But the richest, ResMed's Mick Farrell, is way above that at $47.58 million. Now, that all includes cash and share-based bonuses and awards. However, there are concerns about a potential breakout in CEO pay. For that and more, Raina Bosch spoke with ACSI's Ed John.
One of the biggest takeaways is that CEO pay levels have actually dipped, and so decreased slightly in many of our top 200 companies. And so realized pay is at its lowest level in 10 years. Bear in mind, it's still some very large numbers. So it's about $4 million per person as the median. But those levels have held flat. The big concern, however, is that bonuses are actually becoming the norm in many Australian companies. Again, which is looking forward is quite a concerning development.
So you mentioned that pay was down. How does this compare with prior years?
Well, obviously the trend has been flat for some time. And so we think that greater scrutiny from investors, probably more diligent work from Australian boards has seen that flattened over some time. Obviously, there are some cases which are well above that. So some CEOs are still north of $20 million. There's some large numbers, but by and large, the numbers are flat. We haven't seen a huge boom in CEO pay following the pandemic. But one thing we are concerned is that looking forward, the numbers show the potential for that breakout in CEO pay. So it's really important that boards don't become complacent in the coming years when they're looking at performance hurdles and deciding on these bonus outcomes.
You mentioned investor scrutiny. How large of a factor does this actually play in terms of determining what a CEO is going to make?
Well, I guess boards set and determine CEO pay, and then shareholders monitor the work of boards. And so every year at Australian company AGMs, shareholders actually get to vote on executive pay. And last year was the highest level of shareholder opposition to remuneration reports. So there was quite a significant groundswell. And that came from retail investors, that came from superannuation funds and asset managers. And often in those situations where really bonus outcomes didn't match that experience, or and then they didn't match company performance.
So what does this all say about corporate Australia and how it rewards its executives?
Well, the stories are really company by company. So in some cases, we can see companies that have shot the lights out and performed very well for investors. And in others, it feels like they're starting to become a culture of everyone wins a prize or everyone gets a bonus. We don't want that to become the norm. So in the reporting season, which will start in a few weeks' time, and later this year in the AGM season, I think we'll be scrutinising all outcomes very closely.
Finally, you mentioned a little concern moving forward. What's fueling that?
Effectively, the numbers reported this year show that we could easily see a breakout. And if we look at markets like the US, we have seen CEO pay spiral out of control. So in the US, for instance, some of the average outcomes for CEOs are about 200 times the average worker salary. And people may have seen recent awards to Elon Musk, which are actually in the billions with a B. So making sure that we don't become complacent in the Australian market. Again, investors have a role to play, boards have a role to play to make sure we don't have that breakout in bonuses. And I think that's a critical factor.
That's Raina Bosch there speaking with Ed John from the Australian Council of Superannuation Investors.
Now, Market Day on the SBS On the Money podcast.
Australian share market had a great day. The S&P ASX 200 up 0.9%, 7,959. That's a record close for the ASX. And there was also a bit of a changing of the guards with the Commonwealth Bank leapfrogging BHP to become Australia's largest listed company, the largest by market capitalisation. So why did the Australian share market rise today? What's behind the record? A lot of it has got to do with the US, and I spoke with Tony Sycamore from IG Markets to find out more. Tony, so a big day, the ASX 200 hitting a record today, and it follows a cooler than expected US inflation report, which eased to an annual rate of 3%. I think the Fed's target is closer to 2% for the long run. So can you tell us some more about that and what it means for the chances of an imminent interest rate cut in the US?
Right. Well, look, the ASX 200 has a reputation for strong performance during the month of July, second best month of the year. And today it delivered on that, soaring to a new record high of 79.69, supported by that cooler inflation number in the US, which has seen the probability of a 25 basis point Fed rate cut in September rise to almost 100%. So it's been a really good performance today. At this point of time, the ASX 200 is holding those gains at all-time record highs, and it looks pretty good for a push above 8,000 next week, potentially pushing up towards 8,100. In terms of what it means for the RBA, the cooler inflation data that we saw in the US last night, we did also see the Reserve Bank of New Zealand do a dovish pivot, if you like, earlier this week after being quite hawkish back in their May meeting. And I think what that does do is it signifies that the next move from the RBA is more than likely going to be a rate cut. However, that story is probably one for the second quarter of 2025, given that we still have inflation well above the RBA's target, and all eyes will be looking towards that quarter two inflation number on July the 31st.
Now, obviously, when we talk about interest rate moves, there's an implication for currency markets. And we often talk about the US dollar and the Australian dollar because they're the ones closer to home. But there's been a bit of movement with the Japanese yen as well. Can you run us through it?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, we did see the Japanese yen strengthen sharply overnight from near a 38-year low. And what we can see there in the dealing platforms is evidence of much higher volumes than usual, which suggests that the Bank of Japan took advantage of that cooler than expected US CPI data to come in, sell US dollars, and to prop up the ailing yen. I think this story probably has further to play out this year, with the Bank of Japan likely needing to continue to support the yen until such time as the Federal Reserve starts to cut interest rates. And at this point of time, we're looking, as we mentioned just a few moments ago, as that being in September. So that's the time window that they need to continue to support that yen until.
Can we focus a bit more again on the Australian share market? You were mentioning that it looks like it may head through 8,000 points next week. Can you go into more detail about exactly how it reacted to today's inflation report? I guess which sectors did well? And we are heading, though, into the reporting season. So, you know, are you positive the Australian share market now?
Yeah, I am. And we did see some dovish comments from Fed Chair Powell earlier this week. So the Australian stock market this morning, it was already poised to break through that all-time high. Of course, it then got that final push through from the cooler than expected inflation data. I think things are looking really positive for the ASX 200. It has lagged some of the other major indices globally, and I think that leaves room for some catch up. Last night, we saw the tech stocks in the US start to see some profit taking, and I think that probably argues for some rotation into your traditional or more cyclical types of stock indices and stock sectors, of which the ASX 200 is comprised heavily of. So things look pretty good for the ASX 200 right here, right now. Tech sectors had a great run, potentially time to see those some of the material sectors, the resource sector, resource stocks do well. And of course, the banks continue to do well here. And they're also being supported by local IT stocks and consumer facing stocks, which love the idea of RBA rate cuts being the next move.
Okay, one of the bigger corporate stories of the day is BHP confirming it will temporarily shut down its Western Australian nickel operations. This, though, was flagged earlier in the year. The project employs at least 2,500 people. How significant is this decision?
It's not a surprise in itself, because we are dealing with cheap Indonesian nickel supply flooding the market, and we have seen this flagged, as you mentioned. As such, not really a surprise in itself, but the cost associated with mothballing these mines for the next 2 to 3 years is going to be quite a drag on BHP's revenues. And you can see the way the market has reacted. It's marked BHP down probably in reflection of those higher than expected costs. So not a great situation, but these resources and these commodity markets are very, very volatile. BHP knows how to weather this storm. And at this point in time, it looks like the sensible decision. There just doesn't seem to be any end to that cheap Indonesian nickel supply flooding the market at this point of time.
Okay. And finally, where do you see the opportunities for investors?
This may be considered a little bit boring, but with the world, well, we're already starting to see rate cuts in some countries, but with the Fed and potentially the RBAs, the RBNZ looking to cut rates as their next move, I think it's an excellent opportunity to start locking in bank deposits at high interest rates. You can also start to looking at the bond market. You're going to see that become more attractive as inflation continues to decline. And as we mentioned, I think the ASX 200 looks pretty good for a push up above 8,000 towards 8,100. So keep an eye on that as well.
It's Tony Sycamore there from IG Markets.
This SBS On The Money podcast is provided for informational purposes only. The content on this podcast should not be understood as constituting advice or a recommendation. It is not personal advice and does not consider your personal circumstances or objectives. You should contact a licensed professional before making any financial decision.
SBS is Australia's most trusted multilingual broadcaster. Our listeners are loyal, highly engaged, and have supported countless local businesses. We offer advertising packages for businesses of all sizes. Our experienced sales team will guide you through the process of owning a great campaign. Bring your own ad or have our production team make you something in one of our 68 languages. Start the conversation with your new audience today. Email sales@sbs.com.au.